Order.
Select committee report.
Changes to the way local elections are run were part of recommendations made to the Justice and Electoral Committee's inquiry into the 2013 local authority elections. The call for change came from political commentator and blogger David Farrer, who appeared before the committee on Thursday.
The Electoral Commission should actually be given authority over local body elections. Two reasons are firstly just cost. That should be considerably cheaper. That's not the major issue. The second is, I think, integrity and consistency, where local returning officers actually have no discretion at the moment. Anything complained about goes to the police. I'll give you an example. Two elections ago, I blogged on some of the council candidates for Wellington. I linked to their official 150-word profile. One of the candidates complained about this and actually had to be referred to the police, who sensibly eventually came back with, why don't you just ask him to remove the link?
Mr. Farris suggested putting the Electoral Commission in charge would make it easier on the officials overseeing local elections.
They're making decisions on important electoral issues for councillors, and they do get bullied. They get councillors come in and argue with them because they've got right of access into the building. An example from Wellington, I think a good one, is they wanted to place a voting booth at Victoria University. Sounded a good idea. One of the mayoral candidates who was a councillor thought, well, I'm not sure the students will be voting for me. He argued against it, and that put the returning officer in a really difficult position. The Electoral Commission has considerable experience in dealing with very pushy candidates. They're sometimes known as MPs. They're ferociously independent. If returning officers can go to the Electoral Commission and get ruling. So it's not that they run everything, it's that the returning officer would be appointed by the commission in negotiation with the council and be really the backstop for them.
David Farrer there speaking to the Justice and Electoral Committee. Elsewhere in the committee rooms on Wednesday, Principals Federation President Philip Harding made a submission on the Education Amendment Bill No. 2, currently under consideration by the Education and Science Committee. Mr. Harding opposed the bill's proposed new teacher appraisal regime, which would see appraisal documents sent to Wellington from around the country for an annual audit.
Do we want appraisal processes that are based on teacher capability building and professional learning within school communities, or do we want an audit function that is going to shape and mould those responses? And what I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years is that every policy that comes down has an impact and sometimes has unintended consequences. The risk is that schools will develop appraisal systems that are portable and can be sent away and readily ticked off. That is not what we're trying to do in schools at the moment. We are trying to build rich learning communities. And the notion that an appraisal on a given day has any worth at all is being refuted all around the world.
Principals Federation President Philip Harding. Also during the week, at the annual financial review of Radio New Zealand, its chairman Richard Griffin told the Commerce Committee he didn't expect any increased funding in next week's budget, despite a six-year freeze on funding. However, he did say there'd be a request for more money in the coming months.
Before we'd come to the government for any more funding, we would come with a real business case, not a we'd like some more money because we'd like to do this. If you believe in the concept of public broadcasting, and quite honestly, apart from vested interests, I believe everybody in this country believes in the concept. If we want to support the concept, make it more effective, and we want to make it more effective, then it'll need more financing, and it's pointless to dance around it.
Mr. Griffin indicated that Radio New Zealand would be looking at non-government funding as well, but was hesitant to elaborate.
Some of them are edging into commercial opportunities that we really don't want to put on the table at this time.
Radio New Zealand's Deputy Chief Executive, Ken Law, however, was more forthcoming, listing some areas where the broadcaster could attract additional revenue.
Consultancy work around transmission engineering and helping, particularly in the South Pacific nations, in developing transmission capability. We lease out a lot of our own production gear and expertise to help in various parts of the economy, particularly, for instance, movie making, Hobbit. We do sound recordings and sound engineering for those sorts of enterprises.
Mr Griffin insisted that Radio New Zealand's non-commercial status would not be affected by plans to generate additional revenue, though the company's brand had commercial potential.
Radio New Zealand brand has a huge cachet. We believe we can use that, dare I say commercially, it's not a dirty word, to good effect long term.
Radio New Zealand Chairman Richard Griffin speaking to the Commerce Committee. All up, there were 19 committee meetings held during the week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for parliamenttoday.co.nz with funding from the Office of the Clerk.